Cleaning Nation back again. It is time to have some fun, soak up some wisdom, and to get everything you need to grow your cleaning company. If your life is better as a member of Cleaning Nation, if you want us to keep cranking out a metric ton of cleaning awesomeness all for free, show us the love on iTunes with a 5-star rating, positive review. Feel free to share us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, tattoo it on your forehead, whatever you need to do to show the world that you are a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Carlos Martinez from DuraShine. DuraShine is going to be celebrating 25 years of serving the Eastern Washington State area with mostly commercial services. If you want to reach out to Carlos and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.dura-shineclean.com. Dura-shineclean. Carlos, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you, man. Tell us a little bit about your business. You've been doing it for 25 years. That's huge. Give us an idea. You got how many employees you're running, how many customers you serve. Tell us a little about your company.
So actually, it's been 24. Next year will be 25 years in the industry. And we are in Washington State on the eastern part of the state, like you say. And currently we have about 60, a little bit over, almost 70 employees, 68, 7 employees, somewhere in there. So between 60 and 70 employees. And like you said, we are doing mainly, we do residential cleaning, we do commercial cleaning, we do carpet cleaning, we do floor care, pressure washing, window washing, event cleaning, post-construction cleaning. And mainly of all that stuff, mainly the most thing that we do is commercial cleaning. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Promise you there's listeners out there going, man, 70 employees and, you know, 25 years is a while. So I guess that's part of the equation. But for those folks that are going, well, I'd like to get there a little quicker. You got any words to the wise of how you can go from 0 to 75 employees in just 2.5 short decades?
Well, you know, you got to love what you do and, you know, fall in love with what you're doing and develop good processes and, you know, provide a great service. You know, there's a lot of cleaning companies out there. A lot of people trying to make a fast buck, you know, be a company that provides great value and you can become a great resource for your clients. And if you provide them with a great service and a great experience, just like any one of us that goes out and experiences a great experience, they'll keep coming back to you. And that's probably the best way to grow your company is just go out there and do a great job and provide them with a great experience.
Yeah, it's funny how sometimes the best answers are sadly the simplest, like, hey, do a great job. Love what you do. Work hard. Like, I mean, none of that's super sexy, but dang it, it's kind of what works, right?
Yeah, you know, and another thing I always tell people is that be passionate about what you do. I'm very passionate about what we do here at DuraShine Clean. So, and then we try to pass that along to everybody else. They have some passion about their job that they're rendering, then, you know, people will notice the difference.
Man, I couldn't agree more. The day that I stop falling in love with serving you guys and coming on air and helping and coaching is the day I hang up my my podcasting shoes, man. All right. Thank you so much for sharing that. Like exactly. There's 100 ways to make money in this world, and why not pick one that you love and are passionate about, and even on a bad day, you don't mind getting that. All right, cool.
Life is too short not to do something you're passionate about, you know?
I my last brick and mortar company was I owned a car dealership, and that was our tagline was life is too short to drive a crappy car. So when you said life is too short too, I'm like, oh, is he going to use my line? And then you didn't. And now I'm sad, but I'll a little counseling. I'll be right over, my friend. All right. Well, hey, instead of me yakking and us talking about how great you are, let's talk about how great you can be. How can I help you today, my friend?
Well, you know, it's a clean industry. And even though we, you know, continue to grow slowly and control, you know, but we're always, a challenge is always in this industry is how do you retain good help? If we can continue to find ways to retain good help or good employees, then we can continue to be great and provide our clients with a great service. So I'm always wanting to ask, you know, people like, hey, how do you retain good help?
Perfect. I love that's one of my favorite questions because it's one of the things I loved doing with my brick and mortar businesses and love sharing with other brick and mortar businesses how to do that. So first of all, first and foremost, and people usually miss this, is you got to get the right people to start. And that kind of comes down to core values, which I think we've mentioned in some other podcasts. I'll see if I can link to other ones where we dive a little deeper. But just to catch Carlos up and those of Clean Nations that may not have listened to every single episode, core values are really being clear on what it is that you believe above everything. Like for me, it's have fun, make money, be real, and help out. Those are my four core values. So anytime I hire anybody, I'm only looking for people that those core values resonate with, right? If they're like, I don't really want to help out, I just want to show up and make make a buck and go home, or I don't like fun. I just want to be professional. You guys are being too ridiculous. They're not for me. And it's fine. They should go find a company whose core values are be boring and, you know, do whatever. So knowing your core values is the key, and attracting people that resonate with those core values, and even more importantly, resonating people that think those core values are stupid, right? Instead of letting them in and trying to figure it out, that's a bear. You just want to kind of, in the hiring ad, in the interview process, and on your website, everywhere you speak, you want to have your core values so loud and clear that the people that get them and resonate with them are just lined up. Southwest Airlines is probably one of the better, more well-known examples of, you know, they've got love, and they had such an amazing culture that they paid less than just about every other airline, but they had like five times. There's a waiting list to become a captain or even a flight attendant or anything. They had so many people that wanted to be a part of that because their core values were so loud. And the people that thought that was stupid and we should be more professional, they went to Delta or wherever else. But that living out loud of their core values kind of gave them the cream of the crop in terms of applicants. And they had lines out the door. Literally, people would be waiting for years to get into that organization kind of at the height of their powers. Any questions so far, Carlos, or should we keep rolling?
No, I'm going to keep rolling.
Okay. So that's step one, is you got to make sure you get the right person to start. It is impossible. Maybe it's possible. It's certainly no fun to try and convince somebody that doesn't believe what you believe to change their beliefs. Yeah, crazy. But someone that believes what you believe to stoke that fire and get them more excited and bring the passion out, not only is it a lot of fun, it's really easy and very effective. So that's the first thing. Second thing is build a path for them to follow. So many times everybody says stuff in their hiring ad, like, you know, opportunity for advancement, but it's not really clear. I serve the high school kids at my church. I was just talking with one of the kids who works at In-N-Out. And for all of you in kind of the California, Arizona, I don't know how many states they're in, but it's a burger joint, right? It's like a McDonald's, but kind of they got those up in Washington, or am I just talking crazy?
No, they don't have them up here. No.
Okay. But everyone that goes to California loves In-N-Out because that's what you do.
Oh, you got to go.
Yeah, you got to go. When they open a store, there's lines out the door for like months. It's crazy, the kind of thing that they built. Anyway, In-N-Out, they've got 11 different levels that you can be in. 7 for non-management, 4 for manager. So when you get in as a kid, I think they pay way better than normal. Like, you know, McDonald's might pay minimum wage. I think In-N-Out starts like $11 an hour, depending on what area you're in. But they start higher, and there's a constant kind of improvement. So it's like, oh, once you've been here 3 months, you can test out to go from level 1 to level 2. And there's literally 7 levels. And what happens is, and I use them because it's high turnover, right? We're like, well, yeah, if I use Southwest Airlines and say, hey, their turnover is fantastic, you'd immediately go, yeah, but they're not cleaning toilets all day. That's not a fair comparison. Well, fast food is probably the only worse job in terms of turnover than janitorial, fair?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so In-N-Out does an amazing job by giving them a path to follow in terms of you start here and you go there, and the level 4s are real proud they've worked so hard to get to there, and the level 8s are really proud, and there's kind of a path that they can follow that they can see that's going to raise retention. So instead of, you know, being drunk on a Friday and hungover on a Saturday and have to work and go, you know, forget it, I'll just get another crappy $10 an hour job tomorrow, I'm not showing up. They're like, I've worked for this, I'm a level 4 and I'm just about to have my level 5 test. I want to, you know, it means something to them. They think twice about, you know, being a Yahoo or kind of bailing out. You with me so far?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Cool. I'll give you one more example on the path to follow, and then we'll talk about one more thing and hit the lightning round. On the path to follow, and I like using different examples from different industries because we just learn so much from different industries. So the karate industry, believe it or not, is probably my favorite thing in terms of a path to follow. If you think about it, depending on what part of the country you're in, one kid in karate can be $200-$300 a month. If you got 2 or 3 kids in there, it's an investment. It's a real deal. And typically what happens is, you know, you get your 5-year-old kid and he wants to be tough, or 8-year-old or whatever, and he wants to be able to punch people in the mouth and break boards and all that cool stuff. So he goes to sign up for karate. The problem is he's there 2 weeks and he hasn't kicked nothing, right? They're just practicing this or that, and the blowout rate is really high, right? Just like people, you know, think they want to get extra money and come clean, and they realize it's real work and they don't want to come back. Same thing happens in karate. So what they've done to really revolutionize how long people stay with them, and this is on the customer side, but it works on employees, is they give them that path to follow. You know, you may have never practiced karate, Carlos, but you know there's the white belt, and then maybe I get my yellow belt, and then the green, and then maybe there's a purple in there, and then some sort of red, and a brown, and then a brown with a black stripe, and then I get that. And then 2.5 years later, and, you know, $7,000 of my parents' money later, I've got this black belt. Do you see how that kind of change in paradigm in terms of, hey, we're going to teach you to punch and kick to we're going to give you this goal? And if you just said 3 years from now you'll get a black belt, they're still going to quit. It's too much. I can't envision that. But if 3 months from now I'm going to get a yellow belt, I'm going to stick around for that. And the way that that looks in the cleaning industry is you can put little ribbons of different colors on their badges, or some people have a ribbon or some don't. Some people get pins if they've been with you for 6 months or a year or 2 years. Supervisors get polo shirts instead of t-shirts. The more experienced people that are still cleaners, they still have t-shirts, but their t-shirts are brown instead of black. There's all sorts of ways that you can indicate that. So people, the big thing is you want them to be, when they think about walking away, they feel this sense of, I've built this thing and I don't want to walk away. I've got this value and I'm part of something and I want to continue being part of it. Questions so far, Carlos?
No, I'm with you.
Okay. I feel like I'm talking too much too late. Is any of this new? Is
no,
this,
no.
I just want to make sure we're tracking.
No, we're tracking.
Okay,
I'm with
cool.
you.
Last piece.
Making some good sense. Yeah.
Cool. We'll put the last piece of the puzzle in there, and you do these things, and it's at any level. You may be at five employees or 500 employees. These concepts will work throughout that growth curve. The last thing is build a community. We've talked about this before in some of the shows in terms of a lot of our employees look at us as commodities. We treat them as commodities, like, oh, I'll learn your name once you've been here 2 weeks. But, you know, until someone's been around, I kind of don't give them any respect. And just when he quits, we'll get some other warm body in here. When that guy quits, we'll get some, you know, just they're kind of like units of work. We don't treat them like people so much as just hands and feet that do our jobs. And then once they've been around for a while, maybe we get to know them and it changes. But that's how we treat them. The problem is we don't realize that that's how they see us, right? We see them as a commodity. You quit, I'll just get someone else in here. They see us as another terrible $10 an hour job. And maybe you pay 11 or 9, doesn't matter, but another terrible kind of crappy low wage job. We need to change that so they don't see us as a commodity. They see us as an opportunity to be a part of something that they haven't had the opportunity to be a part of ever before. That's the thing that no one else can compete with. And that's the thing that when someone does offer them a nickel more an hour or some, you know, silly pay raise, they feel like they're a part of something. So they're part of a community. They're part of something bigger than themselves. Like for me, my core values help out. So we always had help projects that we'd go, we'd have families and they'd say, gosh, you know, I've never had a job where we'd go do, you know, we'd go to Mexico and build houses for people, or we'd have the opportunity to give back or be a part of this foundation or see people's lives change outside of work. We would do parties where literally we'd get dunk tanks and the employees could try and dunk the management in the dunk tanks. We'd play foosball. We'd have contests. We'd have awards and recognition. And long story short, it wasn't just this, I go there, I clean for an hour, they give me 10 American dollars, and we repeat until I get fed up with them. It was, I'm a part of this community. And sure, I make some extra money and I do some work, but I do all that because I want to be a part of this community. And these are my brothers and my sisters and my second family. And I'm proud of this place. And I want my family to meet their families. And we spend time and we're really all coming together for something, like you said, that you're passionate about, to really provide something together that we couldn't provide alone. That's so much harder to walk away from than I will give you $10 to stick your hand in that toilet and take out that trash for the next hour of time. Thoughts?
Nope. That's some good examples too of what to do to so they can buy owner, you know, you can have their ownership, you know, they feel like they're part of something. So totally get it.
Yeah, because if it's part of your vision and your dream, they're not committed. But if you can kind of encapsulate right. their dreams with where you're going and everybody's rowing the same direction, now instead of pulling them forward and trying to beat them into submission, you actually go, oh, that's Jamie. I love that guy. Or there's Susie. I love hanging out with her. And, you know, you kind of build this thing where there's a community that they're really a part of and they're signing up to be a part of a community.
They feel part of it. Yeah.
And so, yeah, sure, they get paid. But really why they show up as the community, similar to churches, right? Churches that grow are places that are amazing communities, and people go there for free, obviously, and actually volunteer their time for free, right? That's the, obviously we're going to pay them, and there's the, you know, we have to be a little more specific about work, what work they have to do. But really, you kind of want to look at building your team the same way a church would build a congregation. There just happens to be money, as opposed to, listen, I'm giving you 10 bucks an hour, so you're going to shut up and sit down and do what I tell you to do kind of a thing. Fair?
Got it. Yep.
All right. I'm lightheaded from talking too loud and too fast. So I'm going to shut my mouth and give you the opportunity to share some of your 25 years of experience, buddy. Go ahead.
Well, that's some great advice, man. I appreciate those tips, man. Those are help. We'll glean some stuff out of there for sure.
That's why I get paid the medium bucks, my friend. Glad to help. All right, let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. You're going to give me three amazing answers. You won't hear it, but Cleaning Nation will be cheering across the world. Maybe if we're real quiet, we can hear it. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Man, best piece of advice. I've gotten some great advice over the years. Probably the best piece of advice is when I was going to start my business, you know, obviously, we're all hungry. We're trying to build something special. But my last boss says, hey, man, when you go out and you start your company, he says, be part of the community, give back to the community. And so we are invested in our community. We are, eyeballs deep into different causes and different nonprofits in our community. So, we give back. So a lot of people will do business with us because we're so involved and we give back to the community. And not only does it feel good to do that and be a good citizen and a good neighbor in our community, but it's helped our business grow as well because people notice that, hey, these guys are they're giving back to the community. They're very involved. So that's been a great piece of advice. And I give that piece of advice to people that start businesses. Hey, it's great. You're going to go work when you're able to give back to your community, get involved, join a board, join a cause, be proactive, give back either time, money, or whatever you can, but get involved in your community, and that'll make a difference for you.
Man, so well said. And just like so many concepts that work in one way, they work in another. So that really ties into, I bet you, and I think you'd mentioned, I can't remember if it was on air or off air, you'd mentioned that you guys have kind of better turnover than most in this industry, but you'd like to get better still. Right. And I'm exactly. So not surprised when you go, we're involved in the community, because I'm sure it's not just Carlos and your family that's involved. It's the whole family of employees that sure you invite to participate. And that's fantastic. I just love that.
So let me give you some examples. Yeah, I'll give you some examples. So we've built homes. We've been involved with Habitat for Humanity. So we've gone out and helped build homes for, people that need a house. We've also are involved with Cleaning for a Reason. So we go out every week and we clean at least one house for free for somebody, for a woman, a lady that is going through chemo or cancer treatments. And then I'm involved in boards and other nonprofits. So those are just some examples of what stuff that we do in our community.
Yeah. So Cleaning Nation, don't let this go by, right? It's when this podcast is over, think through, what are you passionate about, and how can, and please, 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 please. I can hear you now going, oh yeah, but I don't have 50, 60 employees. We're little. We just got 10, 20 people hanging around. We can't do anything. That's crazy. I promise you, yeah. Carlos, you didn't wait until you were the size you were. You're probably the size you are because you've been doing this.
Right. Correct.
Okay. Beautiful. Hey, second question. Let's flip this around and find some other ways people can learn. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that the rest of us can learn from?
You know, obviously the biggest mistake, this is going to sound funny, I went to go work for a national company. And so about 3 months, 4 months into it, I noticed that there was a lot of flaws in the process. So I learned what not to do. And that's when I started my company. And then I got educated. I joined some associations. So we belong to about four different organizations, cleaning associations. So we stay proactive and we stay educated, and we attend seminars and conventions.
Well, give us the good ones, because I've had the ISSA and I think I have the CSSA. Give us your number one recommendation.
ESAI, ARCSI,
ARCSI, yeah.
And CMI. So okay, cool. The Clean Management Institute. So we're involved with all four of those, and and again, it's just not to join a membership, but we're proactive. We attend seminars, conventions, the annual conventions, and those kinds of things. And so, when you're proactive and you're staying on top of your industry, then you can eliminate a lot of errors. So I learned a lot when I went to go work for a national company, because I kind of learned what not to do, and so now we try to avoid, when we do our trainings, we take some of that stuff and we incorporate into our training so that we avoid those, some of those mistakes that some of those bigger companies or national companies, and it kind of helps us, firm up quality and really be different than a national chain per se. There's some good ones out there, don't get me wrong, but most of them are not very, they're not high on the quality side of things, So we make sure that we've learned some from their mistakes and incorporated that into things to avoid in our company.
Beautiful. Appreciate the share, brother. All right. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something really easily implementable that they can finish listening to this podcast and go do right away that will improve their life and or their business.
I would just say, get involved in your community and give back. Even if you're a small, solopreneur, just starting out, get involved with your Chamber of Commerce, get involved with a nonprofit, be visible in your community, be a good citizen, and it'll pay back, because people will want to do business with you because you're a great, not only a great business, but just a great community person, a great community leader. And people will know, people will want to do business with you because they know who you are, they know what you stand for, and your business will actually grow because you get involved and give back.
Couldn't say it any better. Carlos, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Carlos's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.